Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 636. Your host, Danny. And yes, we have the whole crew here, and this is perfect timing because of our 12th anniversary later this week. We have Peter in the house.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's going on, man?
Everything. I'm hopped up on pre-workout right now, so I'm full of energy and ready to get this thing going on. Let's kick this off.
All right. And also we have Paris.
Hey, what's going on this morning? How are you guys doing?
Wow, you sound very happy.
I can't even with a straight face, dude.
What's up with that, Paris?
What? I don't see what the problem is. How are you doing? Should I just come in here yelling and screaming and angry and see you in court? God, no.
And slamming everything. Like, I hate everyone. I hate you guys. Oh, my God. Too funny, man. But, Nah, man, dude, I'm just pumped, man. You know, this week is our 12th anniversary, man. So I'm very excited about that. Also, the keynote, I've been practicing a lot for PodFest. I'm excited for that. And also the screening of the movie. I'm pumped, super pumped about that, man. So, but what about you guys, man? How's everything? And anything you guys want to mention before we go with the next topics?
No, go with the show. Stop getting into my personal life.
Wow. Wow, man. You see what I'm saying?
Is that better? Does
you see
that
what
help?
I'm saying? Yeah, damn. What about you, Pete? Because Paris is like so mean right now. So,
nah, let's just go with the show.
Okay. Nobody cares. All right, let's go.
Send us your feedback or questions. Jump. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
It's time for fan mail. Jump.
fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
Yeah, let's see. We have a couple emails here and voicemails. Let me look over here.
He's not even ready for it.
All right, here's the first one. Oh God, here goes. All right, so I'm gonna, you know, like, look, this week is all about GTR, and the thing is, like, my keynote is about the community, so I think this episode will be perfect, all about fan mail. So this is like perfect time for us to do this. So I have one here. This is from Jeremy. And this is for all of us here. What is your most emotional cutscene from a video game? He said he has two. One is from Silent Hill from PlayStation 1. I'm not going to mention that part just in case. Spoilers if anybody hasn't even played this
from
game
From what
yet.
Year?
It's very old, but I don't want to mention it.
There's got to be a statute of limitations on cutscenes.
Look.
Come on. You can't say spoiler alert from 2001. I'm sorry. If you haven't had a chance in 16 years... you're not going to get called out for
now,
spoiler alert.
Now you see this, Danny, right? You see this, and everyone listening. Pete is the one with the anger problem.
I told you, man. I'm hyped up on pre-workout right now. Let's go.
All right, and he also posted that the ending of Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation 1. Let's see. In 1990, I was 17. I finished Metal Gear Solid while watching the end game credits. It hit me that Metal Gear was pushing the anti-nuke movement. Pretty deep stuff at the age. Jeremy, Colorado. So any emotion, like the most emotional cutscene for you guys, it could be from back in the days, it could be current.
Oh, easy. Season one, Walking Dead, the finale, that last cut scene.
Yes.
Just, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Every time.
That's a good one.
Get you every time.
That's a really good one. But you know, but here's the thing too. It doesn't have to be a very emotional bad thing. It could be something that maybe got you like smiling, like, you know, emotions could be good or bad.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me how to feel? Maybe that's, I like the sadness. Why are you telling me I gotta be a happy thing?
Yo, Paris, for the, my God, man. My God. No, but honestly, you know which one reminds me a lot of, like the, was it in Final Fantasy VII? That death scene, the famous death scene from Final Fantasy VII. Also, I think, like, seeing Link from Nintendo 64, what was the name of that game? Was it Ocarina of Time?
Ocarina, yeah.
The first time that he got the sword, that was a pretty powerful moment.
No, it was.
Moment,
no, it absolutely was. Yeah, it was.
Very, very powerful
moment. I'll take you one further on that one. That same game, for me anyways, the first time going to the, I think it was the Forest Temple, because that was the first temple that you get to in Ocarina of Time, actually... Yeah. Seeing that, like the entrance going in, I was like, oh my God, this, like the game, like in my head, it's like I couldn't comprehend that a game could have this level of like a dungeon or whatever. I didn't believe it. I was like, wow, this is the greatest game ever. You know what I mean? So yeah, for that was another.
And I think too, The Last of Us introduction, powerful, powerful. I think the most powerful introduction I've seen in the game in a very, very long time. The Last of Us.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially being, yeah, like you said, The Last of Us, that first 15 minutes. I mean, especially for like someone like myself or Paris who are, you know, fathers to a daughter, to see something like that. That one of those things, I actually paused it, turned off the PlayStation. I was like, I'm gonna have to come back to this. I'm not in the right frame of mind to deal with something like this. So that happened to me. I want to say the end of Bioshock Infinite, just because it was just like I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
God of War 3, the end of Helios.
Mm.
When he rips off the head, like, it's like, damn.
That's a good one. Here's a good one.
Okay.
The major twist from Star Wars Knights of the Republic at the end. Revan? Wow, reminded me.
The Revan
Which
part?
One?
Revan.
Yes.
Yes.
It reminded me of Empire Strikes Back, like the ending of that movie. Like that crazy twist that nobody was expecting. That was powerful, I think, too. So. Any other one, Pete?
No.
I know you were mentioning.
No, yeah, no, you just cut
me off. Well, yeah, yeah. If you cut him off, then he could have finished, you know.
No, but I mean, it's a good question. And I'd like to hear what the rest of the community thinks of, you know, what their most emotional or favorite cutscene is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good solid question to hear and listen to see what the community says.
One last one for me, because this is always just sticks in my head, you know, Paris in his young gaming days, Super Mario Brothers 2, just that last thing where you see it was all just a dream for Mario, and then he wakes up, and then, you know, he kind of looks around for a second and then goes back to sleep. I always loved that. That was always just such a great final cutscene for me.
Cool. All right, so
he doesn't care. All right, let's go. Keep going.
Nah, you know what it is? With Mario too. Like, I really don't. I never care about that game.
This is not. See, he just.
I know it's not. No, yeah, but that's what
but
I'm saying.
Why do you
like,
have to steer
me,
it? It's not about you, Danny.
I'm just saying that I really didn't care much about that game, because after I finished it and I got to see that ending, I was like, I felt like I wasted my time. I don't know. That's maybe just my personal opinion.
How Danny just took something about, what do you think about something? And he just flipped it back into, well, I don't care about it because I didn't like it. Whatever.
You asked me though. Paris, you asked me why I was like that.
I didn't like your negative comment at the end of what I said.
Whatever. It's all good. Is there any other emails guys want to read?
It's funny. I'm looking at my fan mail folder, and I've got like 1,234 fan mails saved up through the years. And like, I kind of like almost want to go back into the time machine and like scroll back to like, geez, and these are all from 2016, 2015. I kind of like want to go back in time to see like what some of our earlier questions were, just to, you know.
We should, I think you should go for it. You know what? Go for it. That would be awesome. Some old school one.
Yeah. So you guys keep going. Let me find a couple here and then I'll go from there. So.
All right. I got one here.
All right.
All right. This one, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. Yup. Yabsim. Is that right? Y-O-B-S-A-M. I don't know. Okay. But anyways, here we go. Hi, GTR. There's a lot of exclusive games on PS4 that are not marketed like. Wait, let me say that again. I'm sorry. I can't read. Hi, GTR. There's a lot of exclusive games on PS4 that are not marketed like Uncharted or Horizon. Games like, oh my God, he's asking me to pronounce some Japanese name.
This is going to be interesting.
Tokiden 2, Neo, Persona 5, Ni no Kuni 2, Tales of Berseria, and a bunch more that are only on PS4. I probably butchered all that. Those games, he goes, at least for me, justifies the purchase of a PS4. Now, with all the news about Project Scorpio, do you guys think it will deliver on exclusive games? More Halo and more Gears of War just won't be enough. I'm still waiting on Cuphead, and there's not even a release window. Four consoles, Danny's Dream, 6 teraflops, and not a lot of games. Is this the future of Xbox? Great show, and love the new Facebook Live. Yupsim. From Puerto Rico. So I'm probably butchered your name and I apologize for that. And I probably butchered the names of all these Japanese games. So I apologize for that too. But to answer your question, no, I agree. And we've talked about this a little bit already. Microsoft needs some exclusive IPs to debut at E3. They need a release date for Crackdown 3 in the launch window. I'm assuming we'll have a Forza 7 that comes out at launch. And Cuphead needs to come out as well. I mean, I know they've already said that Phantom Dust is coming earlier, and Danny, unless I'm mistaken, didn't Phil Spencer just this week put out something about their lineup for E3? Not naming games, yep, obviously, but just saying that they're confident and excited about what they have to mm-hmm. show at E3.
Yeah, he also talked about during the live stream of Halo Wars 2, they had like a launch event.
Right, that's what
he was talking. I watched it, and he mentioned that this year there's no Halo, no Gears of War, like first-person shooters, of course, of Halo. And this is going to be a very interesting year for them because they're confident that the exclusives game that they have this year, they say it's going to be a lot, and they're confident with it too, man. So, and at the same time, you know, we're also going to get to see Scorpio. And he also mentioned that Cuphead is coming out sometime this year. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that for you guys, like Pete and Paris? Because, you know, for a year that Microsoft is not depending on those well-known franchise, and they're focusing on other games that we still don't know what it is yet until E3, hopefully. What are your thoughts about that, man? Because I think that's very unique and different for Microsoft, because we're so used to seeing Gears of War or Halo, one of those two games, every year.
Well, I think they're saved a little bit by the fact that they have Project Scorpio, because when a new like we're seeing right now with the Switch, when you have a new console coming out, you kind of get a pass, you know, on what your launch lineup is going to be like. As long as you have a couple staples, like we said, they'll probably have Crackdown and Forza there. So even if that was the bare minimum, they could probably get away with that. But it sounds like, from what he's saying, they will have some new IPs at E3 that are going to come out this year, which is a good thing. And look, the industry always needs new IPs. We always need to see new IPs and not just a sequel to the same stuff over and over again. But on the flip side, we need to support these new IPs, because if we don't support these new IPs, then these publishers are going to stick to that formula, like you said, of Microsoft of the past, where they just keep releasing the same things over and over again. So a great start to that is going to be finally getting Cuphead out, seeing some new experiences that they can have that are going to be on Project Scorpio. And even something that is a sequel like Crackdown 3, the way that they've, at least in the past, that they've talked about how they're going to do the multiplayer is something unique. Hey, I'm pulling an old marketing term. Taking the power of the cloud for the that was terrible. Yeah. But just stuff like that, man. I mean, as long as they do that in this launch window, I mean, they're fine. And again, they have a new console coming out this year, so just that alone is going to create a lot of excitement, you know, in the industry.
they're saying that Xbox One and Windows 10 will have more exclusive games in 2017 than in 2016. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, it's a good thing for Microsoft, I would say.
Now, my question is, how many of those exclusive games are going to be actually pretty good? You know, because companies could release a bunch of exclusive games, but if they're not good, then eh. You know, so we'll see. I hope it works out. I'm very excited to see this coming from them instead of, you know, depending on just the popular games, you know. And I would like to see that with more like with Sony and Nintendo too. So in the future. Now, Pete, any feedback about this?
I agree with the fact that Microsoft is focusing on Scorpio. I think right now all of their brainiacs are just focusing on making sure that Scorpio doesn't flop day one. As far as major IPs and developers, it's hard. I think I may have brought this up a couple of weeks ago, where it's like winning the lottery. It's like trying to find that, or maybe Cuphead, who knows, maybe Cuphead is that title, but it's kind of hard to do that with an indie title, to convert that into a major IP, a la like Naughty Dog with Last of Us, like we mentioned earlier, or the Uncharted series. It's hard to find those at the early stages. And a lot of times, you know, the major pubs like the EAs and the 2Ks, they are actively looking for what the next big IP could be. But that's like finding a grain that's like trying to find like pepper flakes in a dump truck full of sand. It's nearly impossible. You just have to hope to find it and just have the right timing to be there. So, you know, it's not like they aren't looking for them. Sony has just had the better luck over the last 3, 4, 5 years Forza still is the massive powerhouse. I'd like to see what happens with Crackdown with Microsoft. I think that's a solid title, but I just don't know if it's got the storyline to support it. I would love to see Halo come back to its origins and be that great title again. I just don't know if they've got the studio to do it. I just don't know if 343 has it in them to do what Bungie was able to do back in the day. This one is coming. Here's another opportunity to ruin and butcher last names. I'm not even going to go there. This one's from Mark. Dear Danny, would like to thank you, Pete, and Paris, misspelled, for your hard work. I enjoy the information you bring us. I do have some criticism that I hope you will find constructive, though. Lately, in recent episodes, I have felt a heightened level of tension as the hosts try and get their point across. I'm hearing phrases like, "Let me finish," "Don't interrupt," etc., more and more. Although I appreciate differences in opinion, I think there are ways to hear all of them in a more positive way. I may be the only one, but I did feel the need to point it out and hope you don't take offense. I simply wanted to provide some constructive feedback. Thank you for your hard work, Mark. You have to understand, after 7, 8 years of true friendship, it's no longer a case of being polite. And I think we've said this several times, whether it's been on the show, on other podcasts. I think we talked about this a lot with Harry Duran on his last year.
Podcast junkies.
Yeah. Even yesterday on Paris's Facebook Live, yesterday afternoon. And if you're a single child, which I am, it's kind of like a new experience. But if you've got an older or a younger brother, that's what I liken it to. It's that this is how you would talk to your brother. This is like your blood brother. And this is how the three of us are. We've been such good friends, gotten closer over the last 3, 4 years, that we're not held back by that pettiness of, "Oh, I hope I don't hurt his feelings." No, none of the things that we say when we things like, "Yo, let me finish," or, you know, or "don't interrupt," or, you know, we call each other a-holes or what have you. Those are terms of affection. You know, these two guys, and they've said it to, you know, about me, and we'll say it about them, and it'll continue to be like that for years on end. You know, we look out for each other. We'll be there for each other whenever we say those things, they're more like terms of endearment than anything else. So if that's what it comes across as, please understand there is no ill will behind anything that we say. There is no tension. And if there were to be any tension, the three of us are such good friends that we know that at any given time, if any of us are maybe going over the line or whatever, we will be called on it. We will be checked offline and be like, hey, you need to chill. This was wrong. Like we have no filter for each other. And I think that goes to show the level of friendship and brotherhood and love that we have for each other. So, you know, that's my opinion. And I'm pretty sure it mirrors the two of you guys, but if you guys want anything else to say.
Yeah. I'll
go for it.
Well, yeah. Let me go a-hole. See, this is what we're talking about right here. No, just real quick. You said it perfectly. There's nothing I can really add other than to just say you hit on a great point. I never had a brother. So for me, you two are like my brothers. So like this is what I would envision a relationship would be like with my brother. And that's what, like you're saying, I think people just need to understand we've been friends for so long and been around each other for so long that if you, and I say this all the time, if you saw our conversations offline, you would be horrified. You would think that we absolutely hate each other.
It's pretty bad.
But literally even the conversation we had before we started recording this was just foul. But we could talk to each other like that because we have that brotherhood and that love for each other. And it's how we express it. So when you hear that stuff on the podcast, trust me, we don't have any tensions amongst each other or anything. Like when I saw that email, I laughed because I never once think that at all. And just to give you a peek behind the scenes, and I think we might have talked about this on the Podcast Junkies thing. Pete and I have actually gotten into it a couple times. Danny and Pete have gotten into it a couple times. But the thing is, we never bring that onto the show. We always just squash it behind the scenes and then we're fine. And it's very rare that that has ever happened. And we kind of liken it to you have three alpha personalities trying to get along. And every now and again, we clash, but it's okay. That's what brothers do. You know, that's just how I see it.
You know, I think that it makes sense for someone that maybe started listening to the show and they don't know much about our personality. They probably will hear that and they will think, man, these guys, like, did they even get along?
Why do they even have a podcast?
No, it could be that too. So I can understand from that point of view. But not like when we debate, sometimes we really are into it, especially me, that I'm like, no, like I want to say my piece. Because the thing is, I know sometimes, okay, we record through Skype, right? So of course there's going to be that little delay, right? But at the same time, I know when Pete and Paris are going to kind of stop. So that's like, it's like for me, the perfect time for me to get in. But then it'll be like, hey, wait a minute, hold on, because of the delay. So with Skype. So it's a combination of a lot of things, you know, but it's not like me being really angry towards P or Paris when we're debating or something like that. Or when they'll be mad at me when I cut in and I try to say something too and so on, whatever. So nah, man, the thing is, you know, Paris and P to me, they're like brothers to me, you know, so we argue in the past behind the scenes, but it's like dumb stuff, man. but we never talked about it online. We never talked about it on the show ever, you know, but at the end of the day, they're brothers to me, they're family. So, you know, I hope we could do an interview like that in the future again. Cause I think that, that Podcast Junkies interview was really, really good. That was like a very unique and different conversation coming from us because we've never talked about that before on a podcast. So if you're a new listener, go back to last year's E3 and look for that interview of Podcast Junkies. It was really, really good. Great conversation, man. So it talks a history about us and everything too. So, but yeah, I love getting Paris and Pete angry when I cut them off.
You know, I speak for myself, but I think you actually genuinely enjoy it when you cut us off.
I think he does too.
No, but it's all love, man. It's all love. It's not like, you know, and honestly, when I edit the show and I hear that it's like too much, I sometimes I cut it off. because, you know, like me as a listener, I'm like, man, I don't know, it sounds kind of whack. So I'll take it off.
Well, here's a classic example. Go to the blooper that you put at the end of last episode where you start reading this email. And I wasn't being polite about it or like, excuse me, Danny. I think you might have read that email already. And I was like, no, dude. Hey, we already talked about this. What are you doing? Be quiet. You know what I mean? But that's just how we talk to each other. It's all good, man.
It's all good. Yeah. It's cool, man. But keep the feedback coming. Like, just send us your feedback, you know, good and bad. That's the only way for us to get better, right?
Exactly.
Feedback from the fans.
Yep.
So.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, before we continue with our fan mail episode, I would like to give a huge shout out to the whole EA Sports crew, Nicola and also Nicole and everybody else. They invited us to the FIFA 17 Ultimate Team Championship Regional Finals. The event happened here in Miami, Florida, and there was, 32 players from all over the Americas. They all flew over here to be part of this championship tournament. And I interviewed the finalists, both finalists, Rafifa and also Lucas. So I'm going to play that interview later on. But first, I also got to see Peter Moore. He was there at the event. And also Ocho Cinco was there. Got to see him very quick and took a picture and stuff. I'm going to post it on GamertagRadio.com. You can check it out and everything. So right now, I believe that was like the last region tournament. Then now they're going to go to the finals next, and that's in Berlin. That's in a couple of weeks. So much fun watching this live, and that was a pretty good crowd there. Hype, excited, screaming, cheering for both players, and it was cool. It was actually a lot of fun, and got to meet a lot of the other players too that were part of the tournament. So yeah, we also came out on ESPN2. There was a lot of people that were hitting me up like, hey, I saw you on ESPN2. We came out during the event. I was in the background and stuff. So yeah, shout out to everybody who got to see me there, man. But yeah, we're going to play the interview now. This is a very podcast exclusive interview with both finalists and also the champion, Rafifa 13. I interview him too after the tournament and everything. So check it out only here on Gamer Tag Radio.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
All right, so now we have here Lucas that also was part of the match. Congrats, that was a great match. So what was your strategy the first half? I noticed that you were really good with like the defense, but you were having issues with the offense-wise. What was like the lessons learned from that match?
Ele viu que na primeira parte você fez muito boa defesa. Qual foi a lição para você na primeira parte do partido?
Bom, é que eu foquei mais em marcar, no caso, para não sair tanto no jogo, porque eu saberia a qualidade que o Rafa tem. Mas acabei sofrendo os gols que eu não podia tomar, ainda mais em uma final. Mas agora é trabalhar e deixar isso não acontecer de novo.
He said he knew the game of Rafa, he's very aggressive, so he get focused on the defense. And he takes some goals that he couldn't have it, but now he's going to be focused and working on that.
How was your experience overall and here in the region finals?
Como foi sua experiência de tudo aqui na final?
Ah, então foi uma experiência única. Nunca tinha imaginado com isso, mas a gente sempre sonha. Mas a atmosfera, jogadores, torcida berrando, incentivando, telão, você lá. É uma coisa de outro mundo. Isso dá só ânimo e mais vontade de querer jogar isso.
I never imagined that. We dream about it, but we never imagined it's going to be this. The crowd was amazing. People chanting my name. All the stage, all the experience was like incredible.
I know your country is pretty proud. But now, what's next for you now? What's next for you?
What is a próxima coisa para você?
Representar bem o Brasil no Berlim. Representar muito bem. Quem sabe, se Deus quiser, ser campeão de lá.
He only think about representing Brazil good. And if God wants, I want to be the winner.
What is it that you like so much about FIFA than other games?
Que você gosta demais da FIFA da de outros games?
Ah, é que o, é que só o FIFA funciona isso, entendeu? Os outros jogos estão, mas, nossa, FIFA... E desde pequeno, as outras pessoas jogavam os outros jogos, eu no futebol, indo sempre, sempre, até que chegou o dia. Eu tô aqui agora e só aproveitar o momento.
He said, FIFA is FIFA. You know, all other games are good, but when FIFA comes, it's... Forget, it's all about FIFA, so he loves it.
My last question is, for those that are trying to be like you, be a pro player of FIFA, any advice, any tips you would give them?
Qualquer conselho que você dá para outros caras que querem ser como você, jogadores profissionais da FIFA?
Ah, sim, treinar bastante. É, que nem eu. Você tem que focar numa coisa, você não pode dividir uma ou outra. Vocês têm que focar. Eu mesmo perdi vários finais de semana, mãe ali... É, direto falando para desligar. Questão de namorado também, terminei por causa disso. É uma coisa que você tem que seguir, mas se lutar firme, treinar bastante, com certeza que um dia chega lá.
There's a lot of time, a lot of hours training, even if your mother say to unplug, you just have to keep doing it. I don't have a girlfriend because of that, because of the weekends I keep training, but you have to be focused. If you want something, you just have to be focused and do the right thing.
I just want to say congrats and great match, all right?
Okay. Okay.
Right, thank you. All right, so we have here at FIFA 13, right? Champion, regional champion of FIFA. So what's up, man? How are you feeling right now, man?
Feeling amazing. It's a dream to me to be here and playing off the, all these great players. And I did it. I make it. I won this championship among one of the best players in the world. So I'm coming back to Brazil with the title, and the people there will be happy, and the FIFA scene, I believe, will grow up right now.
I know the first half was a little bit challenging, and then what was your strategy for the second half?
For the second half or match?
The match.
For the second match, I changed formation. I was playing 4-1-4-4-2 square, the most OP formation in FIFA 17, in my opinion. But I saw in the first game that he was using a lot his wingers, Messi and Ronaldo, and was taking one-on-one, Messi against Walker and Ronaldo against Marcelo, and I was losing this side of the match. Was crossing a lot of balls in my area, almost made a lot of goals. So, calm down, we'll... put a man to Mark to help Marcelo, put a man to help Walker. So I changed formation to 4-2-3-1 with Messi and Ronaldo open, and that worked. I neutralized him in the second match, and I could be the one who won.
I know the defense-wise, you went up. You did really good in the second one. But now with everything that you've been doing now with this regional finals here, now you're going to the finals now in Berlin, right? So what is going to be your strategy for the finals now? Because it's going to be a lot of other players that have been winning in other regions too.
I think it will be case to case. There's a lot of great players, European players, in my opinion. I said earlier, they're the best players in the world. So, but I know my potential. I already played twice in third now in international tournaments. And I can do. I can make it. My level is average to the better players in the world. So I think that I could be the one who gets the title there.
Now, if there's any up and coming players, pro players that want to also be like you, a champion, what advice you would give them?
I said earlier, and believe that FIFA must be very frustrating. At some times you get losses that you don't expect, you get losses that you don't deserve, you played better but you lost. So believe and keep doing the hard work, that the time will come at one time and will be the moment that you get the champion. You'll be the champion.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Congrats once again.
Thanks you. Bye bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so I'm going to play a voicemail. This is from Keon. You know, Keon, I want to say to Keon, man, thank you, man. Thanks for calling us all the time, man. You know, and always supporting us. And he listens to the show every time he's driving around while working and stuff. So shout out to him and everybody else, too, that listens to the show while working and stuff. So, and calls of the show. All right, so let's play this voicemail from Keon.
Hey, what's going on, Game Attack Radio? I hope all is well. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just wanted to comment very quickly on the E3 talk that you guys had. By the way, it was an excellent conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really appreciated all three of your points. You know, Danny, I appreciate the fact that you haven't gotten so big that, you know, you have an elitist attitude where you think that the public shouldn't be allowed into E3. As far as Paris, I definitely agree with your point of having just a media day or media days where you guys can come in, do your job, do the coverage, and then let the public in. And, Pete, I also could understand your point of view as well where it's going to be difficult for you guys to be able to get the stories that you want to get with so many people crowded in to the area all at one time. So all three of you had very valid points. I enjoyed all three different sides, but I think that Paris, he has the best solution. You know, if you could make a media day like Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, have you guys strictly come in, the public isn't allowed in, let you guys do the job that you do, because listeners like myself do appreciate the content that you guys provide at E3. So I definitely wouldn't want you guys hindered by anything to give us that great content. But I think if they do that, I think it would be awesome. And this is coming from a guy that's wanted to go to E3 since 95. So it's always been a dream. I think it's a great idea. But at the same time, I think that Paris might be on to something. This may possibly be the end of E3 one day, maybe not today, maybe not next year or the following year, but it may be on its last legs, and I'm very, very sad to see that be the case. But anyway, this message has gone on long enough. Thank you guys for all of the hard work that you guys provide and do. And with that, I'm going to sign off. You guys take care. Bye-bye.
All right, so Keon talked about our E3 conversation we had a couple weeks ago. You know, he gave us feedback about all of our point of views. And Paris, he liked yours, the one that you said that.
Well, of course
to divide
he did.
Of course. Which one?
Of course he did, because I was right. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. No, but the part where you divide like E3 from media and open to the public and so on. And looking so far, the schedule or feedback from everybody else, I'm not seeing that coming from ESA. I don't see them changing it that way, like Gamescom. I think it's going to be maybe an hour early, maybe, for like media. But I think it's going to be the same as previous years. So prepare for the zoo. The amount of people there, man.
No, I agree. I think it is going to be the same thing. The one thing I keyed on from what he said, and thanks, Keon, for the voicemail, was the fact that even he's saying, here's a consumer that's saying E3 is on its last legs, you know, and the fact that we saw that those 15,000 tickets, they ain't sold out yet. I was shocked to see that it has not sold out yet, which does concern me. If the public, you know, if E3 is supposed to be this magical spectacle, and I know there's travel and all that kind of stuff, and it's $250, the 150 sold out right away. But the fact that people aren't willing to spend the $250 to travel to come to E3 for a week is concerning, because they do it for PAX. People come from all over the world to go to PAX, but they're not willing to put that same coin down to go to E3. That should be concerning. I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out this summer.
I think eventually it will sell out. It probably closer to E3 when there's like more announcements. I think it will sell out eventually. So, but I personally thought it was going to sell out like in a day or just a few days.
Yep, I did too.
You know, knowing the amount of people that would love to attend E3, very curious, man. So about that stuff. What about you, Pete?
Nah, I got nothing on that.
Oh, okay, all right. All right. So let's go with another voicemail. This is from Brandon, all the way from Orlando.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is Brandon from Orlando. I have a thought about how Microsoft might showcase Scorpio. Microsoft has really been one of the few companies to do a conference at Gamescom, one of the major first party companies. So what if they did this? They kind of put out some information in terms of specs and all for it at E3, put it in front of us, like kind of just put it out there for people to see. But what if come Gamescom is when they put in the price and the actual release date, as well as with the much larger fan interaction at Gamescom, they would have more people be able to talk or to be able to look at it in real time, and it could be a much bigger event and might be able to swallow up a lot of the news from Gamescom. Just a suggestion. What do you all think? All right. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Brandon, thanks a lot for the email. I mean, voicemail, actually. Oh, wow. So he talks about the Xbox press conference that, you know, he said that Microsoft is the only one so far that they always have like a press conference during Gamescom. And I believe last year they didn't have no press conference, and they focus a lot on FanFest in Germany during Gamescom. And I think we are probably going to see more of that this year, more than ever, because of the new system, you know, Scorpio and everything. So your thoughts, guys?
I think right now Scorpio is their main focus. I think it's a great idea, and I called this two shows ago, and I'm going to keep throwing this out. I was right. Mm-hmm.
Not gonna let that go.
Never.
Not
gonna let that never. Go. Never. I've been wrong for so many times. It's, hey, I gotta take it when I can. No, but I think. And somewhat akin to what's going on with this whole ESA thing, I think they need to knock this out of the park and hopefully not... I don't know if FanFest is the answer to what Microsoft needs to do. I think they've won their crowd over. There's always going to be divisions into who wants... You know, who's going to have the better console. There's always going to be the Xbox versus the Sony Defense Force versus the Nintendo fanboys. But I think Microsoft, and especially with Phil behind the reins, is doing the right thing. Focusing on Microsoft, not trying to be reactionary to the competition. Let them do you. You know what I mean? Let them focus on themselves and not try to go... And answer to or be responsive to what the Sony's are doing and what Nintendo's doing. I think they've got a good direction. They've won over a lot of gamers in general from their missteps in 2013, mm-hmm. and then, you know, course corrected. And I, you know what, honestly, just keep doing what they're doing. Let them focus on what they're doing. I hope Scorpio is a success for them, because, you know, they've got a lot of hopes pinned on it. And if it doesn't, it's not going to be good. I mean, we all have seen what's happened with Nintendo, and this potentially could be, you know, they've got a lot riding on Switch. So mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
I was reading the NPDs from last month. They just came out a couple of days ago. And I was reading that, again, the PlayStation 4 Slim has been the one that's been selling more. And I'm just surprised that Sony is not really pushing the Pro as much. Like how it is now with Microsoft really trying to push Scorpio compared to Sony to their PlayStation 4 Pro. So, I'm just...
Is that because...
Thinking about that.
Maybe it's... And unfortunately, this could be what happens with Scorpio. Because it's a niche product, because it doesn't appeal to the masses, it's, you know, it's a gamble. It's a dice game at this point. You know, is it going to succeed? Mm-hmm. You know, Microsoft has doubled down on Scorpio. You know, mm-hmm. for a niche product, it's kind of hard to succeed in. You know, when you've got something that already appeals to the masses, that for the most part, if you're doing a holiday season, most parents aren't trying to go for the most expensive, especially if you've got multiple kids. You know, you've got a finite amount of cash and you've got to split that. So I don't know. Doubling down on Scorpio could be advantageous, but it also could be, you know, a death knell. I'm not saying that Microsoft is going to go belly up as a result, but it could hurt more. It could hinder more than help.
I don't say that way, but okay.
Yeah, I disagree on that.
That's fine. Yeah.
But Paris, you want to say anything else before we go to the next?
No, one? I mean, I think we've beaten the scorpion to death. So
scorpion.
So we don't need to keep going over and over again. One thing I do want to bring up before we move on, before I forget, is my Switch proclamation, because I've not officially said it on Facebook Live a couple times, but I won't say it on the podcast. So here's where I am with the Nintendo Switch. I'm starting to come around to the Switch and its long-term potential and all that great stuff. So here's, make it short and sweet, here's what I plan to do. When Mandy gets the Switch and you guys get a chance to play through Zelda and all that, I'm going to come to both of you and ask you your opinion. Should I go ahead and get a Switch for Zelda? And depending on what Mandy says, more so than you.
Wow.
I may get a Switch after I beat Mass Effect. I may get one that soon. So it could be as early as end of April, maybe beginning of May. I might go get a Switch, depending on what you guys say. Because I've decided I'm not going to get Zelda on the Wii U at all. I'm just going to pass on that. The definitive version is going to be the Switch. I'm convinced of that. So either I wait it out until more games are announced until the holiday, or I might jump on it earlier and just get it for Zelda. But I'm just saying that on wax, putting my name on it, that depending on what Mandy says, 75% of what Mandy says, 25% for you. I'll consider your opinion a little bit, but mostly what Mandy says will determine if I get a Switch.
I think we would call this the moonwalk.
Basically. It's not so much a moonwalk, because it's not like I'm panicking and running to go camp out at Best Buy on March 3rd. I mean, I'm still not getting it at launch. I mean, it's still going to be a few months after launch, so that, yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, so I can get your opinion, Danny, get Mandy's opinion, and see what people are saying that have hands on with it, and obviously that kind of stuff, see what the battery life is like. And if it's all positive stuff, man, screw it. I'll go get one a few months from now.
And Nancy, when we go to E3, we're going to see a lot of people with a Switch walking around, laying back, waiting for like their appointments and stuff, maybe. I can see that.
Is Mario Kart out by E3? I haven't looked at the...
Way before, yeah.
Okay.
It comes out in May.
Okay. Because that could be a big one. If there's that whole local multiplayer stuff, I could definitely see a lot of people challenging each other in Mario Kart while they're waiting in line. Yeah.
April 28th.
April. So May is probably Splatoon, right? God, my God, I can't even pronounce it. Splatoon, right? Isn't that in May? I think that I know May is another big game for them. I just can't remember.
I don't know. Have they put a hard date on that?
Yeah, well, they haven't really did. I think they mentioned
that's the thing.
Month.
They just said 2017. I don't. Everything I'm looking. Or maybe March. Oh wait, no. There's a demo of Splatoon 2 coming in March, but I don't think there's a beta. But I don't think there's any details on the actual launch date. They may have said summer.
So. Summer, which I think is coming out before E3. So I don't know. I think that it's going to be a very interesting time attending all these events like PAX and E3 and Gamescom, maybe Tokyo Game Show. We're going to see a lot of the gamers playing the Nintendo Switch at all these events, or maybe at airports and so on. Like when I travel and I'll take my 3DS and I have my Street Pass on, I'll get a lot of people that I met probably walking by around the airport, and they'll come up to my accounts, and like their characters will eventually end up on inside my account and everything. So it's cool. I can't wait. I can't wait to see that, man, with the whole Nintendo Switch.
Even the Nintendo site says summer 2017. So I
think it's coming out before E3. That's my personal opinion. We'll see.
Oh, and then also just to throw in, because, you know, there's that, excuse me, that video unboxing that's making the rounds right now and someone's showing off the UI menu and all that. Nintendo has confirmed the reason that person got it early is because it was stolen. You know, because a lot of media and press are starting to get early hardware. So however this dude got it, they're saying it was stolen. This wasn't like Amazon accidentally shipped it to him. This is kind of like when people got that PS4 Slim early. There was a couple unboxings. It's very similar where, yeah, it wasn't just that a retailer made a mistake. This was more nefarious. But it was cool to see the UI to it. I mean, it looks like a classic Nintendo UI. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like I said, I think the system's going to be fine. I just want to see more games with it. That's my main
beat. Was there anything from that video that got your attention, Paris?
No, I mean, none of it like really surprised me. Like I said, it just looked like typical Nintendo to me. I mean, there wasn't like some revolutionary thing that they were doing that I was shocked to see. I mean, it looked, I don't want to say it looked very much like the Wii U. It kind of looked like an upgraded Wii U UI, if anything, you know. So it looks good. I like that you can toggle the settings when it's in TV mode and things like that. You know, say anyone, you can go out there on YouTube and find the video and see it for yourself. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting little product. Like I said, depending on what Mandy says, not so much you, I might get it early.
I'm not giving you no feedback. I'm like, don't worry about it. Do your research. Yeah. Awesome. Pete, I know you were searching for some old emails. Is there any old email that you would like to find?
Yeah, actually, this one was from May 5th, 2013. Nicole asked, what was the worst game of this generation? And I think that's a question that could probably apply to anything. And since back then, there wasn't as many games, but I'd like to see what you guys thought. What is the worst game of this generation as it stands?
Halo 5.
Now you're exaggerating. My God.
No, I'm not. Okay, again, Danny, my opinion. You can't argue my opinion. Who are you? The dude, Nintendo dude?
I have to defend it, man. No, you know why? Because I can understand the campaign. Not everybody's going to like it. But multiplayer is spot on, man. So to me, again, Paris, my opinion too. I think that when it's overall the whole package, that's when I will say, yeah, that could be the worst game ever. But not just because the campaign sucked and the multiplayer was great.
Yeah, but that's, again, it's your opinion, but it's kind of hard to give a successful grade to a game if only part of it is good.
Exactly. That's 50%. That's an F.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it still goes to Vapor Man's Sky. No Man's Sky, I'm sorry, they lost a lot of people with all of the hype. I've never gone back to it. what's bad is that all of the bad hype surrounding Halo 5, I've never touched it. I've never even launched it. I always meant to go back to it, and I just never did. Battleborn was a major disappointment for me. I had a lot of high hopes. I still see the icon on my desktop, but I never play it because Overwatch provided that gameplay that I liked and over Battleborn. So in my opinion, that's probably another game that that fell flat on its face. It had a great opportunity, had a great premise, but it didn't do it.
I tell you this, I won't say the worst game ever, but maybe like the most disappointing to me this so far, like recent, has to be ReCore, in my opinion. My God, the loading time of that game, it's so bad, really bad. But great concept and everything. It was just like, I don't know, that loading thing would just killed it for me, man. I can't deal with that. In 2017, 2016, whatever, it was just too slow. And you know, I just had a hard time playing that game because of that. So, anything else?
That's all I could really find. It was a lot of, there's a lot of emails in there. It's really hard to go through them all. I may just do that. Just go back and forth. Just like every once in a while, pull out an old email from the past and throw it in.
Yeah. Old school email. Yeah.
Well, I got one more thing to throw in before we get out of here. Mass Effect Andromeda. That's what I wanted to see. That weapons and skill set video that they put out a few days ago, that's what I wanted to see from EA and BioWare. That has me reinvigorated to say, okay, I'm keeping my pre-order. You know what I mean? No, it looked good. It looked really good. That's the kind of stuff. I mean, graphically, it looked amazing. It looked fantastic. I can't wait to play it on my PC. And I love how they're breaking out the weapon sets. I'm starting to understand now why they're not locking you down into a specific class. They're basically letting you choose the skills that you want, which is a good thing, obviously. So, I mean, they have more videos, and obviously we're going to see more previews and things come out here in the next month or so. So, yeah, I'm starting to get excited for it, man. I am curious to see what they're going to do with multiplayer. I mean, multiplayer isn't why I'm picking up Mass Effect, but it'd be a nice bonus to see what they do with it. But, what they showed in that 5-minute video is all my complaints have been answered as far as lack of information, because that's the kind of stuff I wanted. So if anything, it looks like what EA's plan has been with the marketing of this is to just cram everything into the final month and have a big push towards the end versus the slow, long burn, I guess.
Yeah, very cool. I really enjoy that video, the gameplay series. I think that was only part one. So they're going to be uploading like a lot of those videos.
Yep.
Closer to launch. And later this week is also the open beta for Ghost Recon Wildlands, which I'm very excited to see, like, the gamers that never try the closed beta. This one's going to be a time for you to play Ghost Recon now before it comes out. So I'm very excited about that.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah, why not? I'll try it. Definitely.
If it's the same one, I don't know if I want to, because I don't want to get burnt out before the game launches. So
I am, because this time I'm going to play it on the PC. I played on PS4 last time. I'm going to go PC this time and just check that out. Because this close to launch, okay, let's put it this way. The PC version, this close to launch, if it's having technical issues still, that's going to be a problem at launch. Just there's no way around it. You know what I mean? So I want to check that out, because I'm still split. Do I want to go PC initially, or do I want to go PS4? I was thinking PS4 because I would play with my son, but with the language and everything in it, I'm not going to let my son play it. So
yep.
That's off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Wish there was like a filter to take that out. Like how it is with Gears of War.
Yep.
There might be.
That would have been cool.
There might be. We just don't know if it's even available or if it's even an option.
Yeah, I gotta dig deep into that and figure that out. Which, oh, by the way, speaking of my son, I was already a grumpy old man. I'm officially just an old man. I can't beat my son in NBA 2K17. I can't beat him no more.
dropped the controller.
He literally trash talked me. And I was helpless to do anything about it. I was just, well, yeah, you got me.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Shout out to him, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. But before we do that, anything else you guys want to say? It's our 12th anniversary. I know Thursday I'm going to be releasing like an old presentation of mine about like the history about GTR and everything. So we're not going to record anything this week until after PodFest. We'll probably have something and stuff. But anything you want to say before the 12th anniversary of GTR?
Actually, I had one more email from the fans that I wanted to read. This one comes from Ryan. Paris and Pete, okay, this is a non-gaming question. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast and often hear the two of you briefly bring up careers in IT from here in St. Petersburg. Oh, see, you got another friend in St. Pete, Paris. First, a little background. I am currently stationed in MacDill Air Force Base, and I am a network infrastructure guy by trade. I have 14 years of experience and a few certs to include a CCNA routing and switching. I'm working on my CCNP, and will complete a CISSP as soon as time permits. Question time. What do each of you do in the industry? How is the job market here in Tampa, St. Pete, and where do you see IT heading in the next 5 years? I have 6 years until I go back to the private sector. Thanks, and keep up the great work with Godfrey.
But thank you for the email.
Yeah. Paris, do you want to go or I can start it off?
I love how he reads the email and doesn't just answer the question since he was talking to you. You put it all on me.
Well, thanks, it's because you put it to both of us. You know, and if you got there stuck in your old man state trying to think of words, I'll just go ahead and start up then.
Well, first of all, no. Thank you for the email. I have not lived in Tampa, St. Pete area and 30 years at this point? So I would be a bad person to answer the job market question there, but what do I do? I'm a network security engineer. God, I've been doing that now. We're in 2017. I've been doing that now for about 12 years. And I have various certs in the security side. And he was talking about network infrastructure. That's kind of where I started. So, I mean, perimeter defense is kind of my specialty. But I've been, with my new position, I've had to learn a lot with compliance and getting all those certs, and it's just a mess. And I'm becoming more of a manager than I am an engineer, which kind of bothers me. And I know, Pete, you know that pain, but yeah, I mean, I love my job. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to problem solve, and I want to get more into intrusion detection. I mean, that's just kind of been the thing that I've love to do over the past few years, and I'm still chasing some certs on that side. But you know, with more responsibility comes less time to actually get hands on with things. And again, Pete, I know you know my pain on that. So that's just kind of where I am right now. But again, I'm old, so it's time for the young people to come in and do all the actual work. I just tell them what to do. That's basically where I am in my
pretty
career.
Pretty much. I started in IT back in 97. So this is actually my 28th year in IT. Started off as just a desktop, you know, help desk guy up the ranks through system administration. Up until about 2 years ago, I was a senior network engineer with a primary focus or primary competency in Cisco voice. So I was the guy setting up, you know, phone systems and voicemail and contact centers. Over the last 2 years, I've started to do the transition from senior network engineer to support manager, and now I'm the director of IT for a finance company. And like Paris said, it's an interesting dynamic to see how you're more or less no longer the hands-on person, and you become a herder of cats. And I've become, unfortunately, the one thing that I hate the most, which is the checkbox coordinator, making sure that people are doing their jobs, making sure that the business is getting what they need. So that's pretty much where we go. And your other question is, where do you see IT heading in the next 5 years? I think we're going to see a lot more of the Parises in the industry. It's really necessary. Security has become that next level niche opportunity, especially in IT, with as many things going towards the internet. I think they're expecting 50 million devices on the internet by 2020. And that's a lot of scary endpoints, if you really think about it, especially with automation and where DevOps is going lately. So seeing things function automatically. I mean, hell, yeah, Elon Musk talking about, AI and robotics and taking over the functions of what humans could be doing and freeing up that human element. It's almost scary where it's going to be going, or where the potential to where it's going in 5-6 years. So, you know, congrats to you going into the IT industry. It's a good industry to go to because, unlike the early 2000s where everybody was, everybody was trying to get in because they thought it was a lot of money. We're seeing a lot of younger, fresher talent coming into the field with a different mindset. And I think that's what IT needs, as well as up in the top level. You know, it does seem to be a little top heavy, but I think the progressive forward thinking mentality is starting to take over those that, you know, were staunchly stuck in the ways of old for IT. And I think we're headed in a good direction.
Cool.
And Danny's just sitting there just like,
like, and I'm just a podcaster. Well, Paris, you're gonna say something, right?
Oh no, I was just gonna add in one thing, because you know, obviously he's in the military, because I mean, that's how I got started in IT back in the mid-90s, just being in the Navy. The aircraft squadron that I was in, we needed some people to start setting up PCs, and we were using Windows. Was it Windows 3.1? I guess just way back then. But that's how I got started in IT while I was in the Navy. And then when I got out, I literally started working on the help desk at Sony here out here in San Diego. That was my very first job. Then I went to desktop support. Then I was working in the data center. Then I left there and went just on and on through my IT career. But, you know, yeah, when you get out, man, you're already way ahead of the game because you're already got some of your certs and you're chasing some others. So I'm sure once you get out, you know, IT, like Pete was saying, is in high demand right now. And if you ever wanted some job security, get into IT because there's always going to be a need for it.
All right, so head over to GamertagWarrior.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And you also can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. And until next time, we are out.
Peace.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.